A very good morning to each and every one of you who are joining us in this worship service. We thank God for another opportunity that God has given us that we can gather wherever we are to worship Him, to exalt His name, and also at the same time to draw strength from God's Word. I believe many of you would agree with me that we are living in the midst of many rapid changes. Not only changes that's affecting the environment, but even in our lifestyle. And the current pandemic has brought a lot of changes, my friend. I was reading a quote where someone said, "The longer you live, the more you know that the only thing constant in this life is change." Life is change, and change can be very hard. You know, when I look at all these things that's happening in the world, I'm just comforted when I read Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, that God Himself says, "For I, the Lord, do not change." What a comforting word from a God who loves us, a God who wants to have a relationship with God, with us. And He's an unchanging God who wants to direct His people to live in this world, which is constantly changing. And so God has given us His Word. And today we want to spend some time looking at the Word that was just read to us from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 20. And I've entitled today's sermon as "Something Has to Change, a Call to Gospel Living." Let's pray and ask God to help us as we spend some time to listen to His voice. Let it be our prayer that the Spirit of God will open our hearts and minds to be receptive to the gospel. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We realize, O God, that in this changing world, You're a God who never changes. And You are our only hope, O God. We just come to You, just leaning on to You. We want to draw strength from Your Word. We pray as we hear Your voice, we want to hear it clear. Speak to us, O God, in Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen. I came across a story about two twin boys who had extreme behaviors and attitude. One was very optimistic, the other was pessimist. And so, as any other parents, you know, the parents were so worried about this boy, so they finally brought him to a psychologist. And he observed them for a while, and he said, "You know, we will try to help these boys." And he said they had a room which is filled with toys, and he's going to place the boy who was pessimist in that room and allow him to enjoy life. And there was another room that was filled with horse manure, and they put the optimist guy in that particular room. And so together with the parents, the psychologist was observing. You know, the pessimist boy, he continued to be pessimist. He was stating that he had no one to play with. That life is so boring, he's all alone in this room. And then this particular group, together with the doctor, they went to see the optimist boy. And they were astonished to see that he was digging through the manure, the horse manure. And the psychologist ran into the room and asked, "You know, what on earth are you doing?" And to their surprise, he answered, he said, "With all that manure, I'm sure there is a pony in the room somewhere. There is a pony in the room somewhere." What an interesting story, my friend. It's how we look at this changing world. It can either dampen our spirit, or at the same time, it can also help us to give us hope, because we have a God who gives us hope. I was reading a couple of news articles, and I realized, you know, it says that 75% of people in the world think that the year 2022 will be a better year than the year 2021. The New York Times ran an article that says in a year filled with bad news, there were reasons for optimism as well, because there's a progress in the fight against COVID-19. There was a study that was done with 33 countries, and they say that people were more optimism. There was a lot of optimism in the global economy. Even though things are going up, there's a lot of increases everywhere. But 3 in 5 nations around the world believe that the global economy will be stronger in this year. Coming home here in Canada, recently there was an article that was published by the Toronto Star. It says, you know, the Canadians are optimistic about the year 2022. It also says that, you know, almost half, that is 47%, say that the year 2021 was a bad year. Whereas 69% of Canadians expect this year to be good for them and also for their families. I believe all of us want to do better. We want to handle things better in this changing environment. We thank God for His Word, because the Scripture helps us to look forward with God as being our help. And so Paul is writing this letter that was just read to us, to the church in Ephesus, or the believers there, because they were facing a lot of issues. And Paul wanted to protect these people against the future problem. He was not only writing to the church believers, but those who were outside the church who were believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, to a certain extent, he was dealing with issues of unity, of righteousness and faithfulness. He wanted these people to live in a way that will honor God and glorify Him. Very interestingly, when you look at Paul's writing to Ephesus and also Acts of the Apostles, there's a lot of difference. You know, the book of Acts speaks about the physical history of the church, whereas the book of Ephesians describes the character of the church, the character of the Christian, and how and what God expects from us, my friend. And so today, we thank God for the Word. And let me read once again, and I want to focus our study today by looking at verses 15, 16, and 17. And let me read. It says, "Be very careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise." In verse 16, it says, "Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." In verse 17, the apostle says, "Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord will is." And so what needs to change? Paul the apostle wanted these believers to look at their life, to look at the environment or the circumstances they were living in. And he says, you need to change. You need to change, and you need to look at things differently. Firstly, he says, look at time differently. T-I-M-E. In verse 15, he says, we must be very careful how we live, not as unwise, but as wise. And so Paul says, something has to change. The way we look at time. Time is a limited gift from God. Yes, my friend, time is a gift, but it is a limited gift from God. I'm not saying this to scare us, but I think the apostle is not only speaking to the church or the believers at that time, I believe that he's speaking to us. How do we see each and every day in our life? Do we see each day as a special gift from God, packed with fresh new possibilities, with unique opportunities? Or do we just see this life just passing by? Yes, time is one of the greatest gifts that God has given to us. The psalmist, and there are many numerous passages that speaks about time. Particularly when you look at Psalm 39 verse 5, he says, you know, the psalmist says, "You have made my life no longer than the width of my hand." He says, my entire lifetime is just a moment to you at best. In Psalm 144, verse 4, he says, man is like a breath. His days is like a fleeting shadow. And that's why, you know, James in his writing, he knew about life, he knew about time, and he says in James 4 verse 14, he says, yet you do not even know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are like a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Yes, my friend, I think all of us know that our time in this world is short. But many a times, the way many live in this world, as if we have an unlimited time. We can live the way that we want to live. Some of us would even complain, or you might have heard this complaint, I never had enough time. Maybe someone is stealing your time, or something is stealing your time, or some social media in a culture like today is stealing your time. Now, I have an app in my phone which helps me to tell me how I'm spending my time. Every Sunday morning when I get up, I look at my phone and it tells me my weekly time spent in the past week on my emails and on the other apps that I have in my phone. You know, one of my early morning ritual is not just to have my black coffee alone, but I start each day with a very ritual prayer. Lord, I thank you for today. Yes, my friend, like the psalmist says in Psalm 118 verse 24, he says, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us be full of joy, he says, and be glad in it. Let me encourage you to thank God for the gift of today. For today, for each and every day that God has given to us. In his book, Worry Less, Live More, Robert Morgan says, before you fall asleep at night, he says, thank God for three things that happened during the day. You know, when we start doing this, we realize how God has been so wonderful, how he has put an age of protection around us, how his love has been just sustaining us, how his grace has been with us. And so Paul says, you know, something has to change. You need to look at time differently in God's perspective, because it is a limited gift from God. Secondly, when you look at the passage that was just read, he says something has to change. The way we look at opportunity. The way we look at opportunity. In verse 16, he says, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. In other words, Paul says, seize divine opportunities. Seize the opportunities that God gives you, because these opportunities might not come again in our life. I was just reminded of the author E.B. White, who wrote these words. He said, when I get up in the morning, he says, I'm torn between saving the world and enjoying the world. This makes it very difficult for me to plan my day. You know, I believe many of us would say, yes. What do we do each and every day? Do we save the day, or do we just want to enjoy the day, my friend? And so the Apostle Paul is giving us an advice here. He says, and he reminds us that make the most of every opportunity. In other words, he's using an interesting word. He says, you need to buy back, redeem each and every moment given to us by God. He uses this word to the church, not only in the church in Ephesus, but also to the Colossians. The way he uses is, you know, something that has been lost. So if you have lost, he says, try to redeem it. It's like a picture of a merchant who's diligently seeking to buy the best bargains in the marketplace. taking care not to miss the opportunities of him. He looks around. He looks for the best bargains. And he knows this is what I want and this is the best thing that I should be ever doing. Very interestingly, when you look at the text, the word time does not just refer to seconds or minutes, but he says you need to redeem. In other words, the time of our entire life. In other words, we need to redeem every moment of our whole life, my friend. We need to be using every opportunity that is given to us. God's given to us. It's urgent. It's urgent in life. And I believe God has an agenda. He has a personal agenda for each and every one of us. And we need to recognize and to seize every moment, God-given moment, by being diligent, my friend. But the problem today is too often we live by our life's demands. Many a times our lives are just guided by the circumstances instead of God's priorities. The Apostle Paul wants us to live with the cross constantly in view. God has given us opportunities because the days are evil. In other words, Satan is always there. Just rob us from good moments. He wants to hinder us from doing good things, good deeds that would please God, that will honor him. Satan wants us to be self-centered, to draw a smaller circle. It's about me, it's about I. Because he wants us to look at life with regret and not look into the future with a smile. Dear friends, can you think of a moment or a God-given opportunity that you have lost along the way in life? Don't let the opportunity pass by. When God brings an opportunity your way, it might be look like a sacrifice. It can be hard work. It might be serving. It might be studying. But if it's God's given opportunity, like Joseph, who was in the prison, he used every opportunity to be an instrument of God. At the same time, he wants to bless God. He wants to serve God wherever, because he saw that God has placed him, even in the midst of a difficult moment, to be a blessing, my friend. And so, when God brings an opportunity, just let's jump onto it. Don't let that divine given opportunity pass us. Maybe God is giving us another opportunity this year. He wants us. And I believe many times the Spirit of God prompts us. What is that God wants you to do? Let's be obedient. Lastly, you know, the Apostle Paul not only finishes, but you know, he says there's something that needs to change. The way we look at the will of God. In other words, he says, His will only matters. His will, that's God's will, only matters. Because when we do God's will, when we know God's will, it will protect us from future problems. It will help us to mature in our Christian faith, and it will help us to walk in accordance with the heavenly calling. You know, when you look at the word that was just read, you know, the first glance, it seems to say that, you know, what Paul is saying, you know, do you want to be wise? Well then, you know, you need to know what the will of God is. Yes, you know, there are sometimes in our life, a certain point in our life, that we need to make a major decision. We need to be making a major decision probably about, you know, whom should I marry? You know, where should I work when there's a job offer that is given to us? Or which school should I get myself enrolled? Or many other major decisions in our life. And all of us want to know God's will. And let me tell you, how do you find God's will? Pick up your Bible. Read it. This is divine inspired. This is God's word, alive, powerful. Yes, my friend, if Christians are so concerned about God's will, we will be seriously engaged in studying God's will. And this is what the Apostle Paul did. And this is what the early church did. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And throughout, you know, the early church, you realize they were just engaged in the Word of God because the Word of God spoke about the will of God, the desire of God, what God has planned for our life. What a comfort, my friend, that God speaks to us even today as we read, just asking God, Lord, speak to me. And as we read, we're not alone. Thank God for His Spirit, His Holy Spirit, which is an inner compass in us, my friend, that guides us. The Spirit of God is so wonderful that He guides us. Not to just control us, but to guide us. Not to drive us, neither to force us, but to just guide us. But whether we want to do His will, whether His will matters to us. You know, my wife and I, whenever we go on vacation or holidays, we prefer a guided tour, particularly in places we are not so familiar. Because at the end of the tour, we will say, you know, that guide has made a difference. Let me tell you, when the Spirit of God is in us, guiding us, and with God's word we are engaged, God will lead us and He will see us through. And even the Apostle Paul in the earlier chapter said, you know, for we are God's handiwork, created in Jesus Christ to do good works, my friend. As we know His will, as we are led by His Spirit, we'll continue to be God's handiwork, created in Jesus Christ to do God's work, which God has prepared in advance for us. Let me conclude by sharing a story about a man who was just anxious about the school reunion. It was after 40 years. Some of you might have gone for your school reunion, even after 5 years or 10 years. There's a lot of excitement. So this man, he's going to go first time with his wife for a school reunion after 40 years. So he saved up his money because he wanted to bring his wife along to his high school reunion gathering. You know, the time came closer. He was just so excited. He thought of the wonderful moments that he was in high school. He was just waiting for the moment to catch up with old friends. The changes, the accomplishments, and all the things. You know, the night before he left, he pulled out his yearbook and he read this, you know, the statements that was made by his friends. Some are very funny statements, some are good wishes for the future. You know, and he was just reading and enjoying what his friends have written. The big day came, so her friend drove him and his wife to the airport. So this man and his wife went. After a couple of days, they came back. This friend who drove them to the airport came to the airport to receive. And when he came to the airport to receive, he noticed that his friend who just came back from the reunion, he looked so sad. He wasn't cheerful. And so he asked him, "How was the reunion? How was it? Just tell me." He said one sentence. He said, "It was one of the saddest experiences of my life. one of the saddest experiences of my life. And so the friend continued asking him, what happened? And he said, it wasn't what happened, but what didn't happen. It's been 40 years and they have never changed. They simply look older. Probably they put on weight. They've changed their clothes. They got jobs. But they really haven't changed at all. He shared his frustration. On the way back, the man told his wife. He said, I never want that to be said of me. He said, life is too precious, too sacred, too important. And he told his wife, if you see me go stagnant like that, give me a nudge where I need it. I hope you love me enough to challenge me to keep me growing. He wanted his wife to nudge him wherever he's not found growing. Dear friends, in this year, do you have a spiritual friend? Or have you asked your wife to nudge you, to help you to grow, that you're growing in the Lord and you're not distracted? Because there are so many things in this world that wants to distract us. Thank God, we also have the Holy Spirit to nudge us. God has given us time. God has given us opportunity. And God has given us His Word. Let it be our prayer that throughout these days, that God will nudge us if we are not using our time rightly. The Spirit of God will nudge us, or our spiritual friend will nudge us, our spouse will nudge us, when we are not seizing the divine opportunity given to us. Let them continue to nudge us if we are not doing His will. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, because Your Word is so powerful, O God. We live in a world, many times, O God, we do not know what to do. But we thank You for Your Word that teaches us how to live a life. We thank You for each and every day that is given to us. Help us, O Lord, to begin each day with a thankful heart and to know that this is God's gift to us. And help us, O Lord, to seize God-given opportunities and let them not pass by. Help us, O Lord, to hear Your still small voice, because You're always speaking to us. Let us, O Lord, not be distracted by the voice of this world, but to be obedient to Your voice alone, and let that voice only matter to us. We thank You once again. We bless You, O God. We love You. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen.